What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Sean in New Mexico. And, of course, yesterday we were reporting on how Texas was suffering rolling blackouts, ostensibly because they did not have the capacity to deal with all of the requirements to keep homes warm during this very, very hard winter. And the Texas electrical companies, rather than submit to the fines for producing too much global warming gases imposed by the EPA. Remember, this is the month that all these new rules went into effect, limiting how much carbon dioxide power stations can put out. And so they started doing rolling blackouts. And now, in talk about your irony here, Mexico is sending electricity over the border into Texas to help keep the Texans from freezing to death. And talk about lame brain, stupid government policies. Where, I mean, Obama is still out there talking about all across America, not just Texas, all across America, power stations are being told they have to make sure they don't go over this mandated limit for carbon dioxide, or they're going to get hit with huge fines. And so even with this additional electricity coming in from Mexico, Texas is still having to have rolling blackouts. Now we're hearing from Sean in New Mexico. They're running out of natural gas there. And all of this gets back to this whole nonsensical situation about, you know, the global warming cultists, Al Gore, the carbon Nazis, whatever you want to call them, just going on and on about it's going to be a mild winter. Remember last October, the UK Met Office, it'll be a mild winter. Back in 2000, Hadley CRU was saying snow will be a thing of the past. For 3 years in a row, they have been promising mild, mild winters. For 3 years in a row, we have been hammered. Tire stores do not have enough tires. Local towns and communities do not have enough road chemicals and salts to keep the roads open. They didn't buy new snow plows. They didn't stockpile enough natural gas and fuel to get people through the winter. Americans are freezing to death in service to this stupid policy of human-caused global warming. And Al Gore has the nerve to get out there on the media and tell us that, oh, yes, global warming brings snowstorms. Well, if that was true, Mr. Gore, then why weren't you forecasting heavy snow and winter so that everybody could prepare for it last year? And so now, I guess, Sean, you know, how ugly is it there in New Mexico? How cold is it? You know, how badly is this going to hit people when they run out of natural gas? Are they going to start having their water pipes explode that's happening down in Texas? Is Sean there?
I'm outside of Taos. Right at the base of the Rockies, and so I'm pretty way up in the mountains. I got propane, but I am connected to the grid for electricity, and of course all these people plugging in their heaters that they bought today could possibly crash the grid up here. I mean, these are all little electric co-ops that are sucking off whatever they can.
Well, those little space heaters are not efficient. That's the problem.
At all. And yeah, the fire departments are freaking out. The state sent home all the non-essential employees today, so it looks like it's been pretty much declared a state of emergency. I'm not really seeing much on the mainstream media about it, but everybody here is running to the stores, buying, you know, tanks of gas. It's like I used to live in New Orleans, and it almost feels like the ramp up before a hurricane. And the crazy thing is the storm is over.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, but there's more storm coming in. It's not over yet, and this is just the start of February. We've got another 2 months before we're through the worst of this. But it really comes down to a very simple fact of life that we as Americans all need to recognize. The United States government assured us all winters were going to be milder. They lied to you in order to justify a carbon tax on you, and now you are freezing to death in the name of fighting global warming. On that issue alone, that stupidity, the federal government ought to be fired. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about God?
Walk like an Egyptian. Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here, and we're all kind of walking like Egyptians. We are all Egyptians. We are struggling to build the pyramids for the pharaohs who have set themselves above us by means of theft and deception. And if you really understand the history of the economy of the United States of America, you understand that the founding fathers created an economic system to serve the people of the United States of America. And it was hijacked not once, but three times by the private central bankers. All three brought the nation to the edge of ruination. The first two times we had leaders of moral courage who stood up to the central bankers and said, enough is enough, you're gone, you're out of here. Andrew Jackson shut down the second bank of the United States. There was an assassination attempt on his life following. Fortunately, both guns misfired. Abraham Lincoln sought to free people from the slavery of the private bankers with his greenbacks. He got assassinated. John F. Kennedy, Executive Order 11110, issuing United States notes based on silver in the United States Treasury, put $4.5 billion of currency into circulation that was not interest-bearing to the private central bank, the Federal Reserve. 5 months later, he was assassinated. And banker John J. McCloy, head of the Chase Manhattan Bank, head of the World Bank, was on the Warren Commission to make sure that the lone nut assassin in the book depository got the blame for it. It's all about the money. These private bankers, the ones who are even now writing themselves record-setting salaries and bonuses in Wall Street, they see themselves as entitled to all of your money, whether they work for it or not, whether you're willing to give it to them or not. They see themselves as entitled by whatever gods they sacrifice to your money. And when you dare stand up and say, look, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live in a system that is engineered to extract real wealth from the pockets of the people and give it to the bankers, in exchange for which the bankers do nothing but hand out more paper. When we talk about the United States, 47% of corporate profits come from the financial services industry. We're talking about 47% of all the money earned by corporations does not result from the creation of anything useful. It's all paper shuffling. It's all gaming the system. It is a huge, huge burden on the economy as a whole when so much of the nation's business and cost of operations are put into these areas that don't produce anything. There's no food coming out of Wall Street. There's no new technology coming out of Wall Street. There's no manufacturing coming out of Wall Street. Wall Street simply takes the money in and puts it in their pockets. The economic inequality in the United States is worse than it was in Egypt. And that's why we're headed the same place that they are. By the way, I did finally find that photo of the tank spraying some kind of unknown chemical weapon in the streets of Cairo. And I'm not an expert, certainly not from this fuzzy video, but it does look like it might have been CS gas. But it does look like it's a general area spraying, and there's a lot of it there. It's a lot of it there. Either that or he blew a head gasket. Could also be that. I'm not sure. Alrighty, let's see. Steve in Ontario. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
It was great hearing that conversation you had with the gentleman about Hawaii's independence. That would be great news. And
Yeah. I'm telling my wife, Claire, I'm going to get out my Thomas Jefferson costume and put it on there, you know, go over for the party.
I don't know if Thomas Jefferson had a mustache and beard like you, though.
Well, you know, or an Aloha shirt. It's going to be a little different. We got to make some concessions.
Exactly. My question to you is, if overall around the world revolution does break out in a big way, obviously at that point that would put the global banksters and the globalists on the retreat and put them in a bad spot where they probably wouldn't want to be. Do they have the potential to implode the entire financial system and throw it into total anarchy and to try and...
You mean like they haven't already?
Well, they haven't totally. They haven't totally. I think they totally could if they devalued the American dollar by 50% and did a few other maneuvers. I think they could totally throw the system into a total downspin, which would... And, I mean, they don't care which country it is. I mean, the United States of America means nothing to them. It's as long as they can control their, like, maintain their power and control. So I'm just, you know, as a desperate act, I'm just thinking, you know, would it be something that they would be able to do? Or do you think there's enough states and independents around the globe that, I'm just worried that if they did that, then all of a sudden China would become the reserve currency, and, you know, how great would that be?
Well, I think China's going to become the reserve currency anyway, but the only reason for a reserve currency is to support a global financial system. And I think the aftermath of this revolution is we're going to see the rise of nationalism, where people are just going to sit inside their own countries and run their own economies. And, you know, they'll trade across their borders and they'll work out exchange rates with each other. And there is no global reserve currency because the idea of private central banking in a debt-based economy is going to be anathema to the world from now on. So yeah. I think the answer to the question is they may feel that they've got the doomsday scenario where they're going to say, we'll bring it all crashing down. My reply is, go ahead, do it.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen is we're going to see states like Virginia are already doing. They're going to set up their own government-issued currencies. We're all going to go back to the system that worked for the people before the rise of the private central bankers.
Right. Did Hawaii have its own currency before it was swallowed up by the United States?
Yes, it did.
And is that
had its own postage, had its own currency. Some of those postage stamps are among the most collectible and valuable in the entire world right now.
I remember my grandmother used to collect Hawaiian stamps. They were her favorite. But
they're worth a bloody fortune right now.
Really, I should try and dig up that stamp collection.
Yes, you should.
But I just think that, I mean, it's actually it's amazing to see that Virginia is talking about it. And I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of other states that I think North Dakota is actually one of the most financially stable states as well, because they pretty much haven't used any Fed money, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they have their own bank. They have a state bank where they're issuing their own money into circulation and taxing it back. But there's no interest paid to a private bank because the bank is owned by the state.
Yeah.
And they're using the Federal Reserve notes in circulation, so they're still hooked into the system, but it's not as onerous as having a Federal Reserve regional bank that is charging all that interest and everything. Again, it's really simple. We have this story at whatreallyhappened.com, Bankers Gone Wild, and I'm going to go ahead and relink that to the main page. The whole first part is about the early history of economics in the United States of America, and the way the founding fathers set up the country, it was an economic system that was designed to work for the people. Then you get the central bank bozos like Alexander Hamilton, who came in and said, oh no, we'll have a private bank and they'll issue the government's money at interest and we'll build credit and we'll build debt and all these other good things. And basically Hamilton was already working for the Bank of England, which had lost the American colonies as financial slaves. In the Revolutionary War, and they were not able to get them back following the War of 1812. So they started coming in, and they simply started approaching, American politicians and offering them tons and tons of money to say, look, you be our lobbyist for, a new private central bank. And it was about that time that Congress put through the original 13th Amendment to say you are not allowed to take presents from foreign governments and foreign institutions, or you lose your job in the government and you can lose your citizenship. And, it was a tragedy when that original 13th Amendment was removed because it simply opened up the doors. You know, members of Congress are saying, well, what good is it being in Congress if I can't be bribed? And so they got rid of the 13th Amendment, and the corruption ran apace from there. But I think more and more in the aftermath of this disaster, the aftermath of this revolution is going to be that the International Monetary Fund, private central banks like the Federal Reserve, are going to be considered enemies of the people, and rightly so. They're the author of so many of these wars that we have. They drive countries to wars of conquest, because wars of conquest and looting of other nations are the only ways that these accumulating debts can be paid. Because you got to have new money coming into the system from some other source to stand a chance of freeing yourself from the private central bank.
No, I agree. And, it's interesting when you look at the way things have changed in the last 10 years in the world. And you look at how the Internet, I think, was basically being put out there. I think the globalists thought that the Internet was going to end up being their tool to control the people. But what it has ended up doing is informing people worldwide on a mass scale that would have never happened before. And I think that whether intentionally or not, I think that the Internet itself has actually backfired on the globalists, because you wouldn't have the type of riots and stuff going on, the uprisings in all the different countries around the world, if it wasn't for the information that was available out there. And as much as you can look at the Internet and say, okay, with their entire financial system and how they want to integrate everything, it could be used for evil. But I think it's the only thing that gives us a fighting chance.
Well, what's really interesting? The Internet was never intended for public consumption. It was not supposed to be something the public were going to be allowed to use. You're right. It was only for the government and for the elites to have access to. And we're coming up on the end of this segment, and we got a couple of other callers waiting. But when we come back from this next break and these commercials, I'll give you a real brief rundown on how the Internet came into being. It wasn't supposed to be available to the public. It broke free and changed the world. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Just real quick, history on the internet, which I think everybody agrees has just completely transformed the way information flows through our society to a degree that the old power structure never really caught on to. I think the impact on society of the internet has to equal that of Gutenberg's movable type printing. And if you study the reactions of the existing power structure at the time when books became affordable to ordinary people, you will see much the same knee-jerk panic reaction about, we've got to get this under control. We can't let those ordinary people read about the lies that we've been selling them all these years. And those institutions that were able to evolve and adapt to the new reality of a better informed population survived. And those institutions that couldn't evolve and adapt became extinct. And we're seeing a repeat of the same thing here today. Now, the internet began as a project of the Defense Department's Advanced Research Project Agency, and it was called ARPANET. And it was only available to military contractors, military bases, the Pentagon, and universities that were engaged in military research for the government. And over time, people would start setting up internet connections, ARPANET connections, in their home. There were no restrictions. The government was paying for it all. And as they left government service and military service and universities and went into private life, they would set up additional connections so that ARPANET was becoming publicly available. It was sort of a status symbol if you had access to ARPANET in your home. Well, the government reached a point where they said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. All this email and Usenet and all the rest of this stuff, it's completely out of the control of the government. This is not to be. And so the government went around one year, I forget what year it was, I think it was in the late 70s or very, very early 80s, and the U.S. government went around to all the defense contractors that were running the backbone machines of the Internet, and they said, okay, before you get your check next year, we're going to impose some new rules on who is allowed and not allowed to have access to the ARPANET, and ordinary citizens are definitely not on the list of is allowed to play with this thing. And to a man, every one of these companies that were running the backbone servers told the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, you can keep your money, we will run it ourselves, and we'll pay for it. And in hacker lore, it's called the Great Revolt, and that was the day the ARPANET became the Internet. But it was never intended to be available to the public. It was considered far too dangerous to the existing power structure for people to have access to a mass communications system that was not under the control of the government. And the genie is out of the bubble, out of the bottle, rather. The Internet was designed to not allow control or censorship because there's no central control point where such controls can be put in. Now they're trying to basically retrofit censorship by building it into all the routers. There's that the company a bunch of the Israelis started, I think it's called Naris, where they're basically putting out systems that live everywhere on the Internet that can on command block certain IPs and certain domains. And they're trying to basically find a way to bring it back under control. But like I said, it's the kind of panic, knee-jerk reaction we saw after the availability of movable type printing. And as Mubarak has just proved for the world to see, shutting off the Internet is not going to solve your problems. So, yes, the Internet and the bloggers are changing the world, have changed the world. It's already done. It's a done deal. And the power institutions, whether governmental or religious, face a very simple choice. You will either evolve and adapt to the new reality of a better informed public that you cannot lie to the way you used to, or you will go extinct. Personally, I think the United States is about to go extinct. Going back to the phones, George in Texas. Aloha, George. Thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Still staying warm. no rolling blackouts yet. They said 6 to 10 tonight they'll have blackouts. So, but the thing is, everybody in Texas I talked to are looking for somebody to blame. They want somebody's head on a platter for what happened yesterday, a little stunt. And I called the Attorney General's office, who's been fighting the EPA tooth and nail. I said, just don't go waste your time going in a federal court. Just go in your own state Supreme Court and have an injunction against the EPA. Because this, like I said, Mark, Mike, my pipes bursted last night. I just fixed them last night. And I tell you one thing, I am sending a bill to the Electric Reliability Council of Texas for my bursted pipes, and I am charging Roto-Rooter prices.
Okay, good. Yeah, charge a premium. Remember, you were working in the off hours, so there's golden time involved there. And, in all seriousness, though, it is the most absurd thing that we have ever heard in this nation. In the middle of one of the harshest winters in our entire lives, the government is going to fight global warming by letting us freeze. And this kind of stupidity and idiocy cannot be tolerated. If you want to be the government of what used to be the greatest nation on earth, please make some good choices. And if you don't make good choices, kindly leave. I mean, it doesn't get any more stupid than that. We're going to fight global warming by letting you freeze. Doesn't make any sense at all unless you are, one of Al Gore's investors in his carbon brokerage. And I think pretty much the only people still pushing this global warming nonsense, including all the media personnel who are allowing Al Gore to go out there and say, oh, yes, global warming is why we have heavy snowstorms, they're investors. They're making money off of him. This is the only reason they let him on the air. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org. Or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And I know we got a couple of callers waiting, but I wanted to get to this story. It's kind of important. We're talking about the situation in Egypt and how the United States government, which is supposedly in charge of a nation founded on the principles of equal rights, equal right to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, consent of the governed, will of the people, all that stuff, you know, which we all know, and according to a recent survey, apparently our members of Congress are not quite as familiar with as we are. But I digress. Story that we've linked to whatreallyhappened.com earlier today, U.S. reexamining its relationship with the Muslim Brotherhood Opposition Group. Okay, and the quote from the story, on Monday, in what analysts said was a clear reference to the Brotherhood, the White House said that a new government in Egypt should, quote, include a whole host of important non-secular actors. Okay, now, everyone's running around screaming about Islamic this and Muslim that. Let's flip it around a little bit. What if somebody here in the United States of America suggested that the U.S. government should make a point of banning Jews from government service or Christians? Okay? Is the United States not a nation founded on freedom of religion? Do Americans not have a right to practice the religion of their choice as long as it does not involve molesting small children? And do the people of Egypt not have that same equivalent right? Now, Israel openly declares itself to be a theocratic state. It calls itself a Jewish state. And it's constantly attacking its neighbors to expand its dominion. Well, if Israel has a right to be an exclusively Jewish state and to have laws on their books that openly discriminate against non-Jews, then do other nations not have a right to be an Islamic state? See, we've got this very strange double standard that we're all supposed to go out and hate Muslims and be afraid of Muslims and be afraid of Islamic states. But it's okay for Israel to be a Jewish state. And I want to point out one more thing. Israel as a Jewish state has been in a constant state of attacking their neighbors. We're seeing this constant worry that Egypt might go the way of the Iranian Revolution. Well, good! Ever since they kicked out the Shah, the Iranians haven't attacked anybody, have they? They sell stuff, they buy stuff, they build stuff. It's a beautiful place if you look at the pictures. They haven't been anywhere near the headache to the rest of the world that Israel has. So I say, yeah, let Egypt become a new Iran. Let them become another Islamic state. Because Iran hasn't attacked anybody since becoming an Islamic state. I would rather have Egypt become an Islamic state and not attack people than have them become a Jewish state and start, you know, shooting the crud out of the Gazans from their side of the border. Let's have a little sense of balance and perspective here. Being Islamic is not automatically bad any more than being Christian is automatically good. There are good Christians. There are some real bad Christians. There are good Muslims. There are some real bad Muslims. There are good Jews, and there are some real bad Jews. But this nation, the United States of America, is founded on the idea that we all get to choose what we want to believe in. Or in my case, choose not to believe anything at all. That's what freedom means. We cannot, our government cannot, on one hand, support a Jewish theocratic state at the same time it goes out to demonize an Islamic theocratic state. The two have an equal right to coexist peacefully with each other. Meanwhile, the United States has announced that should the Suez Canal be threatened, that the U.S. is prepared to militarily intervene in Egypt. Going to invade Egypt to keep the canal open. Okay. Makes a good excuse if Israel says you will reinstate Hosni Mubarak. Because you know and I know that any new government of Egypt is not going to close the Suez Canal because it's a revenue generator. They're going to need money. Mubarak is probably, we already know, Mubarak has shipped out a ton of Egypt's gold. We saw that 2 weeks ago, we got that report. Just like the head of Tunisia before they bugged out. They looted their treasury for a whole bunch of gold. The new government coming in is going to have an empty piggy bank to play with. They're not going to shut down one of the major sources of revenue. They're going to say, yeah, the Suez is open for business, you know, except for those Israeli submarines that try and sneak through without paying. Suez will be open for business. Tourism will be open for business. Egypt will be open for business. And business will be booming because business and commerce and trade is the path to peace, and peace is what we all want. We want to trade with each other. We want to get rid of the people who say, I am supposed to have it all, because God said so. That invisible man in the clouds that nobody else can see or hear, and he talks only to me, and he says, I already own all of this, and you have to get out or pay me rent. And I'm justified in sending in the tanks to kick you off the land that the invisible man says belongs to me. Actually, I found this very, very old piece of parchment in a mayonnaise jar buried in my backyard, and it says, actually, God gave the entire planet Earth to my family. So you all owe me 5 cents. And there's a donations button on the front of whatreallyhappened.com where you can send me money. I'm kidding. Don't send it in. It costs me more to process than. All right. Anyway, so moving right along here. Okay, we got callers on the line. Tom in Connecticut. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to make a correction. You said the Bank of North Dakota lends out money, but then they tax it back. That's not really true. The taxing mechanism in North Dakota is pretty much like any other state, and it's got nothing to do with the bank. They get their money back by just getting the loans back with the interest. And if they did that statewide, whereas there were no private banks, because there are still private banks in North Dakota too, they would actually not have to have any taxes because they would make all the profit they needed just by running the banking system where there wouldn't be a need for any tax at all.
Well, it's a complicated issue, and what I was talking about, spending the money and then taxing it back in, is the government spending itself. Yeah, the bank engages in loan business and loan practice. But ultimately, the problem with abandoning taxation in favor of a profit-making state-owned bank is you're back in the same situation that the instant that first paper note goes into circulation, more money is owed to that bank than is actually in existence. And I think this is why the founding fathers of the United States came up with a treasury that simply issued the money the government needed to spend and allowed it to operate through the circulation and then taxed it back without having a private central bank basically serving the government's interests instead of allowing the Treasury Department to do that. And it was a huge, huge debate when the country was being set up between those who supported the private central bankers and profit motives and the Bank of England and those who said we need to go back to the system that was working really well during the American colonies. And, you know, it is a complicated issue. I understand that when banks loan money, you know, they do need to make a rate of return on it. Under the old model where banks are only loaning money that is deposited in their coffers by customers, that model can really work. But when you hand a bank the right to counterfeit and create money out of thin air and then loan it at full face value at interest, you immediately create a very unstable situation. And sooner or later, it must crash, which is what's happening now.
Okay, well, it's one thing to just print money to lend out to people and then they have to pay it back with interest if there's not another source of money to make up the interest that they now owe. So you create another source. You create a secondary source of money to cover the interest. And what a state would do is pay for the infrastructure, print up the money needed to build and upkeep the infrastructure, and that's the new source of money that can now be added to the money supply to pay the interest back to the bank.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting idea. I'd want to spreadsheet it out and run some simulations on there because it does seem like there may be an inflationary problem over time, but that's a very interesting idea.
Well, the thing is, a state's economy is only as strong and as prosperous as the condition of its infrastructure. If you got bridges falling apart,
that's true for the whole country. That's why we're in trouble.
So if you're investing in a world-class state-of-the-art infrastructure, that's money well spent because everyone's life is that much easier and commerce just prospers.
Yeah, but unless you privatize those roads and put toll bridges on them, you can't actually monetize the return from that. It is an investment in the future, and it is something government should be doing with tax revenues. Unfortunately, what we're seeing government do now is take tax revenues, build a road or a bridge, and then immediately turn around and sell it to a private corporation who will then start charging a toll for the people to use roads and bridges that they already paid to build. And it's just another form of the creeping corruption and fascism that we have in the United States. So I want to think about your other idea, though. I think there's actually something there that needs to be looked at. So, Tom, we're going to let you go here and switch over to David in Iowa. Aloha, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
First of all, I wanted to thank you, Mike, for running your site because I was one of those people before the Internet and before your site that was living in fantasy land. It didn't understand what a messed up world I actually live in and how the Federal Reserve System is actually a slavery system. So I wanted to thank you.
And you're
also,
welcome.
I don't know, like, I think that the Internet is a marvelous thing, and I'm glad that it's there, but how do we actually use it to get a hold of people to educate them about the monetary system and the way it works and how, like, there's a quote that keeps popping into my mind. There's no man more enslaved than that who falsely believes he's free.
Oh, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And I mean, that's for most of the years from 1913 until the start of the internet in the 1980s, that was certainly true of America, where America was constantly brainwashed by the schools that the Federal Reserve System was the way banking was supposed to be, even though a quick read of the Constitution would have revealed that that was definitely not true. And, you know, people thought they were free. They thought they had fair elections. They thought they had benevolent, honorable government. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I was just having a discussion with my lovely wife the other day where I was waxing nostalgic about the nation I thought I lived in, as I had been told it was when I was a child. And I was just telling her, I really miss that country. And, of course, I realized I never lived in that country to begin with. It was all a hoax and a deception, but there were some high ideals there that I thought were really good, and that's the nation I wanted to live in. I miss living in. I'd like to live in there again. I sure as heck don't like living in the nation that we have right now, and you know, coming to the realization, we are the most lied to people on planet Earth. We are as clueless about the true nature of our government and our ruling bodies as the medieval peasants were about the kings and queens living in their palaces.
And ignorance is bliss, so people stay that way because they enjoy being blissful and thinking, oh, the people that are smarter than me are running things, and they've got everything working just fine. And unless things mess up, then people don't get mad.
You know, if that were true, we wouldn't be seeing this you know, surge of revolutions around the world. Iceland, Greece, Great Britain.
They haven't been programmed like us. They had their Islamic schools, of course, and the UK has been traditionally pretty free on their media, but they don't understand the severe mind programming that the U.S. public has gone through. And as a result, once they learned about what's going on through, like, the IMF, which, you know, literally comes in and rapes their countries, they revolt. So they get up and they get pissed. And I wish America would do that. Oh, man.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I have to let you go, David. I'm really having a hard time hearing your end of the phone conversation, and I'm going to say no more calls for today. Got a few things I want to talk about before we sign off for today. But basically, getting to this whole thing, the situation in Egypt is not going away, and it is not the end of it either. They are now planning 20,000 people are going to be protesting in Yemen's Day of Rage. They're getting ready to do that. Bahrain has announced their Day of Rage. This seems to be the buzz phrase, the Day of Rage, the Summer of Rage. Basically, Belarus is starting to make noises. They're going to revolt against their government. This is something that is happening all around the world. And one of the reasons we're seeing the United States and Israel work so hard to shut this down in Egypt is they understand when Mubarak falls and a new government is brought into being in Egypt that is not under their control, this is going to send a message to the rest of the world. It is possible to do it. Egypt is a large, powerful country with a long, long history, cultural tradition. And if the people of Egypt can stand up and fire their government, then it can happen anywhere on planet Earth. We remember it wasn't all that long ago that the people of Russia stood up and kicked out the Soviet Union. At the time, arguably one of the two top most powerful governments on planet Earth, and they got fired. They got pink slipped by the Russian people, as well they should have. And now everybody's understanding the problems that are afflicting these nations that are in rebellion, starting with Iceland. Are problems that afflict all of us. It's a global problem called private central banking and the International Monetary Fund. And the global population is standing up and saying, you know, we're done with this thing. So, all right, real quick story. The National Enquirer, which appears to be a commonly used propaganda organ for scandal mongering by the government, has come out and fingered John Boehner for extramarital affairs. You know, big deal. Ooh, remember the Congress, you know, humping anything that moves. What a shocking development that is in this day and age. I think the same issue also had Sarah Palin's husband was caught with his massage therapist or something like that. So, you know, let's just start out accepting that all members of government and the clergy are sex fiends and just move on from there and not get all excited about it. Because I think what's going on here is I think there is a move to shove Boehner out of the speakership in order to make way for Israeli Patsy Eric Cantor to step in and basically complete Israel's conquest of the United States Congress, and I don't think that we should allow that to happen. Now, let's see. Israel is going out there and whining to everybody. Now that it does look like Mubarak is going to fall, no matter how much tear gas and torturers Israel sends over to support the regime. And so now Israel's running around to all the other countries on planet Earth saying that it is up to us to force Egypt, the new Egypt, to honor the existing peace agreement between present Egypt and Israel. And this really is very typical of Israel's behavior. They go out to other countries to do the dirty work. Now, if Israel wants peace with the new Egypt, then the first thing Israel needs to do is to be peaceful. And constant attacks on their neighbors like Gaza and Lebanon are not going to relax anybody. Israel needs to stop bullying and act like a peaceful nation, and then there will be peace. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And just when you think that it cannot get any more absurd, it does. Talk about desperation on the cusp of madness. We're just now getting a story in. I just linked it to the front page of what really happened. It'll probably be out of the caching mechanism here any second. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak says he wants to step down now, but he can't. The latest spin is that Mubarak wants to yield to the obvious will of the Egyptian people. But after seeing all the fighting and violence over the last 24 hours, he doesn't feel he can. Because if he steps down, the violence will just get worse. And of course, we all do a big yuck-yuck on this one. I don't know what the Egyptian word is for bull biscuits, but this is definitely a situation. The only violence is from Mubarak's hired thugs, the security police, the police van that ran through the protesters, and the Israeli commandos on the ground. He's created the violence, and now he's using that as an excuse to evade the consequences of 30 years of dictatorship. Mubarak kind of reminds me about the kid who murders both his parents and then throws himself on the mercy of the court because he's an orphan. Mubarak has created the violence that he is now using as an excuse to hang on to power. And I think this probably signals the end. Tomorrow, as you know, is the day of rage in Egypt, in Cairo. Everybody's resting up. They're going to be taking to the streets first thing, sun up, in Cairo, which is about 6 hours from now. And they're going to say it's time for Mubarak to go. And they're not going to buy this nonsense about I'm staying for the good of Egypt. They're not going to buy it any more than they bought the, you know, I need to stay till the end of my term and then I'll leave. They want him gone now. And you know something? This is not only one of the stupidest things I've ever seen come out of the mouths of a national leader, and I have seen a lot of stupid things come out of the mouths of national leaders. This is insulting. If he actually thinks the people of Egypt are going to believe this thing, then obviously Mubarak has been underestimating the Egyptian people all along. Which shows you the danger of, you know, two things. One, you shouldn't be believing your own press releases. And two, never, ever, ever confuse the silence of your people either with consent or complacency or stupidity. And that is definitely one of the lessons to come out of the situation in Egypt. If he's trying this kind of lame excuse to hang on to power, then we're at the end of the process. He's out of excuses. Everything he does insults the people. All across the Middle East, they're seeing Israelis on the ground in Egypt killing Egyptians at the request of Hosni Mubarak, a very clear Israeli puppet. These other nations are going to be looking around and saying, how compromised is our government by Israel? Is it time to get the Israelis out of our government? And inevitably, the answer is going to be yes, whether it's Palestine or Yemen or Jordan is about ready to go. All of these little governments that kept themselves going by making these little secret deals with Israel, they're coming to an end. And on that note, we're going to sign off for today. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock Central, here at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay safe, stay well, stay warm if you can. Drive carefully and aloha, America.